This morning to the Gospel of Matthew. I don't have the breath.
You want somebody to read it?
Mike, come up here and read it. Matthew chapter 18. Beginning to read in verse 21 down to the end of the chapter.
Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought up unto him, which ought him 10,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and his children and all that he had, payment to be made. The servants therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosened him and forgave him his debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And when he would not, but went out and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what was done, they were very, very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desiredest it. Shouldest not thou also have compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wrought, and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brothers their trespasses.
Father in heaven, we pray. We thank you this morning for your word. We ask that you enlighten us, teach us from it. We pray, Lord, for great grace in this hour. Arrest us and give us hearing. Give us understanding. Help us to apply. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It was not too long ago that I believe that my son-in-law preached from Matthew chapter 18. And Matthew chapter 18 deals with the very fact of sin remaining. Don't worry about it. I'll sit down if I need it. Question that I have by reading this portion of Scripture. Is there a sin still remaining in the believer? Okay? Is there a sin remaining in brothers and sisters in Christ? has the Lord given us a proper teaching and application of how we can deal with remaining sin in ourselves and in other people? Has he done that? It was several months ago, someone asked me in this church and said, Pastor, would you preach a sermon on forgiveness? And I said, I'm going to go ahead and try to do that. And here recently, we had another circumstance and situation arise that basically deals with brothers and sisters in Christ living with each other. Sin arises, and sin leaves a deadly track behind. Wherever sin is sown, I got news for you. It's not going to teach life. It's not going to teach edification. It's not going to teach building up. And the Lord has given us in his word directives. A couple of days ago when I was thinking about on this particular subject, then I thought I'd look at my computer and I'll look to see if I have any notes that I had compiled over the years on forgiveness. And it was some 10 years ago in this very building that we had a couple of brothers in this church had gotten at odds with each other. Their communication went wrong. They went to the left, the right, and by the time it was all said and done, they would not even speak and talk to one another. And so I sat down, and I've got the notes that I wrote them. I wrote both of them the very same note, and here is what I said. Here are scriptures that I gave on some 10 years ago, and I said, dear brothers, here are passages of scripture that have come to my mind, so it's applicable in this situation. Do you think, I'm asking you, brothers and sisters in Christ, do you think it is actually possible when Peter said to the Lord Jesus, Lord, how often, you know, Peter had a kind of legalistic mind, like some people in the church. Nowadays, I guess if you wanted to do that, you could probably, in your notes, in your iPhone, you can probably set you a little spot where you can go ahead and put transgressions down that people over the years have committed against you, and then you come to the place and say, well, this is far enough. Peter had in his mind, he is willing to forgive. Seven times. You're shaking your head. You say, brother, that's me. I believe that that seven times is something that I can handle. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Question. Do you think it is an easy thing to follow through with the Lord's commandments when it comes to forgiving? Brothers at home, those of you that married, I know we boast. I've been married 56 years. Some of you a little bit longer than that. But do we ever come to the crossroads in that 56 years or 23 years or whatever, 25 years, and wherever you are, that you come to the place and say, hey, that's no problem at all. If forgiving my husband or forgiving my wife, it's just like turning the page. Liar. You are a liar. Because you see, when it ultimately, the ultimate test of your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ is, I want you to know, what is it? The ultimate testimony of the grace of God in you is the ability of the inability. It's the ability of the unwillingness to say, I am not going to do it. I will go to my grave. I would rather die than deal with this and that. I've got news for you. That's a testimony of the very fact. As I was thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and as he was praying about the fact, and he's teaching his disciples to pray. He says in Matthew chapter 6, where he says, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. What's the next line say? And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm asking you, would you take an evaluation? And would you take an inventory of your life? And some of the people that have negatively affected you in your life, that have trampled on your person, that have lied to your faces, that have dismantled you as who you are, and they've made little mincemeat out of you what you are. Do you know of anybody like that? Do you know of people who you have wronged you or wronged your family, your children? And you know, whenever you see them, you wouldn't dare be caught on the same aisle of Bass Pro or of Walmart, you would make a nice little detour. I was caught in a similar situation not too long ago, and once you know, pastor's not exempt. You know what we say and what we do and what we think that we do and how we pray will show itself in how we apply ourselves when we see people. We happen to be at a funeral, and I mean we're talking about 2-3 rows down. Here's the whole pew of people. That would have been the last ones that I would have on my guest list. And guess what happened after it was all said and done? In the providence of God, they all funneled right to Robert Haling. I want to say thank you, Lord. I would not have done that any otherwise. But you see, that brings it down because he says here, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Think about what the Lord Jesus is saying here on this Sermon of the Mount. And then he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Do you all hear that? How many people have I seen in my short tenure as a pastor? I've only been pastoring about 35 years, which is not very long. But how many people have I seen in the course of my ministry? People who have professed the Lord Jesus. People who had a solid profession of faith. People that had gone through the baptism of waters and raised their hands and said, I'm not ashamed to raise the banner of the Lord Jesus over my house. And I'm willing to follow him for the rest of my life. How many times have I seen that? How many times have you seen that? Were those that have made profession of faith. And then in the course of life, then you see what happens. I always recommend that people will come. And I know a lot of big churches. You know, I think I'm getting to like this chair. It's a kind of a crickety thing. I said, Pastor, if I go, I go down. Barrett, you better be quick. I have seen people that way. Good professions of faith. Husbands and wives. They love each other. And then somewhere down the line, you see there is not the same affections as it was before. I want you to know that my wife, she is a dear, dear woman. And I want to say, when I got married, I got the blessing. I got the blessing. When I think about it, how selfishly she gets up at night and she says, honey, let me go get it for you. This morning, she was scrambling around to put a new outfit on the preacher because all of the other stuff is outgrown. It's just hanging on me. And she's over there trying to get them shoes on me. And she said, honey, you're not going to wear a tie. I said, I'm so sorry, I'm not. But here's the point I want to say to you. That when you come to the place and you recognize and realize that with the mercies of the grace of God in our own lives, what do you boast? What do we boast? What do we boast before a lost and dying world? What is it that we boast? How blessed are the feet of them that come over the mountains and bring good news. And what's the good news? Our God reigns. And when you think about it, when the Lord laid hold of our hearts, he extended to us his mercy and he said to us, your sins are as far as the east is from the west. Your sins are as the depths of the sea. God Almighty says, I'll remember them no more. And then you think about it, that we come to a place where perhaps with a church member, let me tell you what sin does. Sin has a wedge of driving in between lives and hearts. Sin has the tendency to blind the eyes. Sin has the tendency to cover up the ears. Sin has the tendency to close up the eyes. Sin has a way of killing the affections that were in the heart at one time that said, honey, I would walk across the ocean if it was necessary. And then somewhere down the line, you come to the place and say, I wouldn't lay across a ditch so you can walk across and not get wet. I wouldn't dare do that for you at all. Get out of my life. And then yet on Sunday morning, we go to the places of worship and we sing, We sing, oh, how I love the brethren. And how blessed it is when the brethren dwell in unity. I want you to know our testimonies, if they do not deal with the fact of forgiveness of sin for us, personally, for me, for us, that translates into the little handful of kernels that I throw out there in comparison to the abundance, what God has done for us, I want you to know that that's exactly what we need. We cannot have and we cannot tolerate not one family, not one member, not one citizen of this church that somehow or another we tolerate. You all remember this story, and somebody asked me here a while back when I pastored Southwood Baptist Church in Oklahoma City. We had an older couple that would come. They would come to Sunday school, and it seemed like that they were just intertwined like this. And it was about 2 years of their journey into a continuing the walk of faith that I got a call from her one day. By the way, she was 92 and he was like 93. And she said, "Pastor, I would like for you to come by and see me. I want to share some things with you." So I went by and she went. This was back some 15, 16 years ago. Matter of fact, their children came up to my house after we had gone to Germany, after we left, and after we moved back into our house. They came from Oklahoma City concerned and worried about their parents. Do you think that's a rightly concern and a rightly worry? What was the problem of this missus? The problem of the missus was when her husband was called into the military in the 40s. She said when he went off, she said he was just everywhere he went, he was looking and lusting. We may have some people in here in this room. There is that thing that the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. There is such a thing that drives people. The only problem was with this little lady, she did not listen to what the Lord Jesus said. That as you pray for forgiveness, and that day you also are praying for forgiveness of those that have trespassed against you. This lady had kept a diary. 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. She kept a diary for 60 years. Do you have somebody that is in your life that has trampled you underfoot? Or perhaps you think they have trampled you underfoot and you have read in between the lines and say, there is something going on. I don't want to have nothing to do. It may just be something of your imagination. And you ought to come to the place and say, I need to get a hold of that and deal with it because I do not want to die with it. And so when I think about what the Lord Jesus is saying here in the Sermon on the Mount, he says, but if you forgive not men their trespasses, you need to underline that. It's Matthew chapter 6 and underline verse 14. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you all hear me? Now, I don't know, does anybody remember, guys, do we have any Christians here that you've been a Christian for 50 years? One, two, I didn't know you were that old, Deanie. Okay, and how about 40 years? Okay, 30, 20, 10, okay, and then we're going down 5 and on and on and on. I want to ask you something. Do you remember, that day when the Lord brought home to you that you have been called by Him and He has justified you? Do you remember that? Do you remember the fact that, you know, my paperwork is clean? It's clean. And do you remember that the assurance you had in the course of all of that? Do you remember how you felt and how you rejoiced? You see, I want to help you and I want to help me. I want to help us all to deal with this thing of remaining sin and how often do I forgive my brother. I want to deal with that and look at it in its proper light. When we forgive somebody, I want you to know that is just a like an ocean in the ocean with all of the water there is. When you look at your salvation, there is actually no stops and no breaks. When you contemplate, it has all been perfectly and finished. It was all accomplished. There's a portion of scripture that came to my mind as I was reading that. Was this in Psalms 32. Now look at that. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. Do we have any transgressors in here? Okay, we got a few. Frankie, when we're in a car and a policeman's coming 70 miles on the other side this way, she'll say, don't look over there. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. What do you think? Are we blessed? I'm asking you, what can you add to that? As Paul writes to the Ephesians, blessed be the God and Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all heavenly blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Can you think any better than that? Look at verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputed not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. Can you remember that? Think about that. Verse 3. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. And for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I have said I will confess my transgression, and the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. I don't want to stop here. It's the next verse of scripture that stands out. Here is this. If we know that personal cleansing and justification, if we know that our sins have been dealt with completely in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we know that what's ahead of us, eternity, and well done, thou good and faithful servant, I tell you what it ought to do for us. It ought to tell people who do not follow the Lord Jesus, let me tell you about the Lord Jesus, what he is able to do in you as he has done it in me. So for this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters, they shall not come nigh unto thee. Thou art my hiding place, and thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs and deliverance. Don't you think that's a wonderful thing that on one hand we see? Here you've got Peter saying, no problem, Lord, seven times I've got it in my phone. I'll take care of it. Then, of course, the Lord gives them the lesson about the king who ruined all his finances. And then the rest of the story speaks for itself. And then on the other hand, you've got a man that, like David, the man after God's own heart, that fell willingly into sin with Bathsheba the Hittite, the wife of Hittite, Uriah the Hittite. I'll get it out here in a second. And do you remember how the Lord raised up Nathan the prophet? Do you know of someone that has wronged you and has sinned against you? Or do you know that you have wronged and you've sinned against someone? You know that. And could we say this morning, it is similar to Nathan the prophet coming and saying, thou art the man. We are the one. We have transgressed. But oh, that the Lord will give us merciful and gracious hearts. And so when I think about what the Lord is saying to Peter and to David, should we question to me? Should we even think about that? Let me read you the first statements in this letter that I wrote to these two men. I know what you're thinking about. You're sitting out there and you say, hey, Pastor, we love you on that stool. Well, we don't really appreciate all you got to say. Do you believe it is possible for God to change the heart radically once and for all? Then start asking forgiveness for those that have trespassed against you. Do you honestly believe that God can change hearts towards you? Is God in the business of changing hearts? You know, in our prayer meetings, we pray for people that are on our prayer list. To be honest with you, I don't even know what we're praying for. On one hand, we're praying for reconciliation. But on the other hand, we say, we wouldn't touch that with a 10-foot pole. Let me tell you what we need to do and recognize is this. I am a sinner saved by grace, and so are you. It is not your merits, and it's mine, not mine, that has caused the sovereign hand of a gracious, merciful God to be in my life. I had nothing to do with it. And what little of a commandment is it for the Lord to say to me, go forgive those that have trespassed against you. Oh, Lord, help us to do that. So let me finish reading this. May our Lord grant to us hearts that will respond according to his word, and that honor and praise will come to him as we in the midst of difficulties have grown. There must be the mind of Christ. You ain't got to do that on your own. It ain't got to happen. There must be willingness to lay down self. Can you do that? I think we can do that when we say, Lord, I can do all things through Christ. There must be the willingness to say, I am sorry. Question, Wives, have you ever heard from your husband that he is sorry? You don't have to answer that here. Have you ever heard it, wives? Husbands, have you ever heard your wife say, "Honey, that is wrong. I am sorry. Please forgive me." Have you ever heard that word? If we don't have that, we're missing a big part of Christianity. The life of Christ in the world looks at us and say, "Look at them people." There's one couple that we have been ministering to for 50 years. Every time I get the phone call from them, I just tremble. These two have been married like 35 years, and they have killed each other 3 or 4 times, and they're still living with one another. But when you talk about the fact of following the Lord Jesus, they say, "Oh, Pastor Robert, there's no doubt in my mind. Don't worry about me. Everything in the Lord Jesus is okay." And then, I mean, she'll turn around 5 minutes later. "I told you, Daryl, that is absolutely wrong. Shut your mouth." What does Pastor Haling need to do? There are millions of people on this globe who have professed the Lord Jesus. And there are millions like that that will absolutely say, "My Christianity has to do with the Lord Jesus. And what I got going between me and other people is nobody's business." I got news for you. If I happen to be your shepherd, and I know there may be something eating on you, something robbing you from your joy, you begin to investigate. And then when people start talking about they and them and those people, have you ever heard that? "Yeah, we left them and those people and they and on and on and on and on." I want to say, come ye sinners weak and weary. Let's enjoy the blessedness of forgiveness. And let's enjoy the power of the love of the brethren. Do you know what it is to look in your brother's eyes and say, "I am sorry I have failed and I've dropped the ball. Please forgive me for that"? Can we do that? Can we say, "You know, I believe I was right all along. However, I know this has affected my relationship with you and your family. Can you forgive me for that?" Oh, we don't do that. That's what the Puritans used to do 200 years ago. No, we do that because God's word says it. And so I want to say to you, let's make it a priority. And I tell you what, you'd be surprised what it'll do to your worship. Do you remember what the Lord Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount? If there's somebody that calls you a rocker or a fool, and then he says, before you go and worship, you need to go be reconciled. Leave your gift. Deal with your sin. And then you go worship. There are people, there are people that live 50 years. 50 years with a cloud hanging over their heads. Somebody said something 50 years ago and I never got over it. How often do I forgive my brother? Kylie, how often? 7 times 70. We don't count. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come and we bow before you this morning. We ask for grace. Wash and cleanse. Oh Lord, give us the grace of forgiveness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.